And now, from coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the old ranch. Old Bob and Ray Sun Farm here.
Pleasant day this has been.
Yeah, wonderful day to sit on the back porch, more or less watch the summer slowly disappear.
Slowly disappear, yeah. And it is.
Yep.
Only not so slowly.
That's right. Bob, and those of you listening, we have a very important offer that I'd like to take time to start right now. This will only take a minute or so out of the program, but it's something I think you should all hear.
That's right. It's a deal that comes along once in a lifetime, and we decided to tell you about it right now.
Now, usually this is something we don't do, but it's an offer that you, the listener, cannot afford to pass up.
All right. First of all, I want you to write down this number. The number to call is Pickering 6. If you get a busy signal, call back.
Remember that number now. That's Pickering 6.
Now, all you want to do is look at it.
Buy nothing.
Keep it for 10 days, and if you're not satisfied, return it, and you'll get your money back.
Remember, nothing to buy.
Call to our operators who are standing by. Will not place you under any obligation.
Nor will it bring salesmen knocking at your door.
Remember, nothing to buy.
But we feel confident that once you see it and compare it to the old outmoded one you now have, you'll really go for it.
And listen to this, nothing to buy.
And under our plan, we estimate a savings of anywhere from $10 to $14 a month. Why not put that good money to use?
That's right. Why not plunge that savings of $10 to $14 a month back into our plan?
It's as easy as this. When the man on the truck delivers it, ask him to stand by. Now, once it's through your door and in your home, kick it, push it, slam it, pour water over it if you like.
And if you don't think it's going to keep you happy.
If you don't think its features will give you increased freedom around the house.
If you don't think it will save you costly bills.
Or if it doesn't in every way live up to what we've said about it.
Tell the truck driver to take it right out of your home.
Tell him to put it back on the truck and drive it back to where it came from. Our factory in Hillsdale.
We won't care because it's your loss.
And remember, nothing to buy.
Or, if you prefer, our auditors have made possible and available the B plan,
which allows you to purchase it with a nominal down payment, the balance payable on the Big Brother plan.
And remember, nothing to buy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we feel we've said enough about this amazing plan.
Right, there's nothing further we can say that will convince you.
The product sells itself.
Why not call our anxious operators at Pickering 6 right now and get in on the bargain of a lifetime.
Get one today.
Remember, if there were anything to buy, it would be a good buy.
And the number to call, Pickering 6. Or simply drop a card to Goodbye CBS. 485 Madison Avenue, New York, and say, I want it.
That's Goodbye CBS, 485 Madison Avenue, New York. And from New York, welcome to the After Hour television show starring Hack Park and myself, Eustace Dove. Now the star of our show, Hack Park.
Hello out there. Listening to that applause, either I'm better than I thought or there are 300 or 400 masseurs at work in the audience. Eustace, who's our first guest tonight?
Well, Hack, it's the secretary of
him.
Well, Hack, we tried getting you for the show, but you know how you are. You go right home and you never go out and all that stuff. I bet you've only been to a nightclub maybe once in the past 3 years.
Well, I get sentimental and cry when I see a bill laid in front of me on a table.
Hack, forgive me, but before the secretary comes on, I'd like to say something.
Go ahead, Eustace.
Well, everything Hack says is true. Along with his natural flippancy, there's a tendency on his part to be, well, good, I suppose.
Go ahead, Eustace. The secretary can wait. Go ahead.
Well, Hack, people have asked me what Hack Park is really like, and... you see, Hack, you're so many people.
Well, I have to be. There's so much to do around here, and I have to be so many people to look after all the details. And thus far, what I've done here has been incredible. I mean that, Eustace.
I know you do, Hank. And that's part of it. But the thing that...
Excuse me, Eustace. Folks, about Eustace, most of you out there don't know this, but Eustace is seldom wrong.
Oh, Hank.
Look, I mean that, Eustace. Most people do not know how right you are.
Well...
And I'll tell you something else about Eustace, who's part of our family here. He's been to my home, and he's seen a lot.
Well, Hank is right about that. I might tell you that I was moved by what I saw, and so was Hank. What most people don't know is that Hank is a man who is easily moved. When I was there, Hank was, well... It wasn't a crying jag or anything like that.
Tell them why I was moved, Eustace.
Well, I don't know if you folks out there know this, but there's a stream that runs adjacent to Jack's house.
Well, I like streams. They're nice.
Anyhow, about 6 months ago, there was this crab. I suppose it came from the stream. Well, it crawled into Hack's home.
Oh, that was a wild night. Wild!
And wouldn't you know, that crab crawled into one of Hack's best suits, and the marvelous thing about it, Hack continued to wear the suit, crab and all. Now, very few people know that.
Well, look, I make no pretense. I'm flooded with sentiment. People have asked me why, and I just tell them it's part of my fabulous way. Am I going to lie?
Hank, you make it sound simple because it comes easy to you.
It is.
There's very few people who would walk around with a crab in their suit.
Well, thank you, Eustace. You know what you're talking about. Now, let's bring out the secretary. Here he is now.
Hank, I'm glad to be here, and I come to this program with an offer. I have been empowered by the powers that be to ask
Wait just a minute, dear heart. Are you about to offer me a high government post?
Why, yes, I...
Well, that's sweet, but I never leave my house except for this nightly aggravation here. Tell you what, why don't you give the post to Eustace? He knows a great deal.
Thank you, Hank. I don't want to leave a small guy like you.
Well, suit yourself, Eustace. And now, sir, as a high government official, what was the funniest thing that ever happened to you?
And right now, a word or two from Tweedy pipe-smoking Webley Webster. What brings you to see us? Do you have one of your penetrating book reviews this evening?
No, I've been kind of goofing off recently, but I'd like to say a word or two on something real important.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I just thought I'd remind everybody about how crowded our colleges and universities are, and they're going to get plenty worse unless everybody gives lots of support to the college of their choice.
Well, it's a very sincere sentiment, Webley, and I thought all of us should heed it, but don't you teach a course on the side at some college yourself?
Where's Barber College?
Barber College?
Well, not a place where you learn to cut hair. Chapel Barber, the school is named Barber.
I see. Uh-huh.
Boy, I sure just saw when people make that.
Well, I'm glad you straightened it out. What's the course you teach there?
Called How to Tell the Book Smelt to High Heaven.
Well, thanks for dropping by tonight, Webley, and we'll keep you in mind, and keep in mind, too, about supporting the college of our choice.
You know, you can make the college of my choice, you know, too.
This evening, via two-way radio, we're paying a visit to the head of one of our city's library systems, Mr. Forrest Princely, adventurer, author, and raconteur. Mr. Princely's apartment is in a quiet brownstone in New York City's pleasant East 60s, and he should be at home now. Hello, Forrest.
Hello, Fred. Welcome to my humble abode.
It's a real pleasure to be here. We look forward to this visit.
Thank you.
Wonder if you'd show us around your comfortable.
Well, I'd be delighted to. I think one of the things that might be of interest to those who'd be looking in be this desk here. Now, the former Governor McClintock of North Dakota gave this to me in 1911.
Very beautiful, Fred.
And it's Indian mahogany. It's beautiful. Yeah.
I was going to say that you're lucky to have found an apartment which kind of follows your library training routine, so...
Well, oddly enough, I'd like to take you out and show you the library that I have at home. Can you hear a little noise in the...
We're getting a little bit of it, yes. It's coming through.
Well, this would probably be hard to believe, but the apartment above mine here has been vacant for 17 months.
That's
and, unfortunately, they're moving in up there on the day that you pay us a visit.
Certainly a coincidence. Did they know that you were going to be on the air tonight?
I couldn't hear you.
I say, did they know you were going to be on the air tonight?
Well, I don't think it's much of a secret. Your trucks are out front and the microphones are all over the place. I don't know what they thought all the trucks would mean.
Could you show us some of your favorite books that you collected as librarian?
Oh, goodness, I'm terrible. Well, here I have some interesting first editions, Fred. I have, I'll hold it up so you can see it.
Yes.
This is a...
A little bit of plaster there on your shoulder.
Oh.
Evidently the ceiling is all cracked.
It's not the modern furniture, airy, man. More like those heavy old period pieces they're moving in.
My
word, that's terrible. This first edition here of Tom Sawyer. I have the Hardy Brothers. I hope this isn't a omen of every night the rest of my life
this
here
is
in this apartment.
Horace Princely, head of our city library system. Our thanks for joining us, and good night. For
good night. Good night.
Now, do we have time to... talk to Thurber. We have quite a bit of time to talk to Thurber Whitechapel in
Wonderful.
Chicago, and I think maybe he can wind up his story of the gentleman who was desirous of returning to his native country, Bulgaria, and experiencing the thrill of tasting some of that famous Bulgarian cream pie. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd landed in France. He was without funds. And hello, Thurber, can you pick up the story where he boarded the train? I think that's...
Finally arrived in France and got on the train. They'd left Cherbourg, and he didn't have money, didn't have any tickets, and he explained to the conductor. Well, the conductor said, all right, under these circumstances, you can stay aboard.
Yes.
So they stayed, and he stayed aboard, and... The
train was heading for Bulgaria.
Heading for Bulgaria, and they're going up the Swiss Alps when the train left the track. And he was thrown clear, and he rolled down.
Mm. Was he
down
hurt badly?
Down. He rolled, must have been 13 miles through snow and gravel and trees and brush. And,
must have been a pretty sorry sight when he landed.
At the foot of the hill.
Yes.
So he had to crawl then the rest of the way, and he could see over the next hill was his native Bulgaria, and at last he had a taste of that wonderful Bulgarian cream pie. And that's all he could think of was this pie.
Sure, so, well, after all of this trouble, I can well imagine.
He was crawling along, about 4 or 5 below zero is off
yeah.
the cold,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and a lot of things were happening to him, and people were shooting at him. There were wild dogs and all, but finally he reached the top of the hill, and he looked down, and there was his native Bulgaria, and there was an inn right at the foot of this hill where he knew he could have a piece of the Bulgarian cream pie. So he started to down the hill, and he tripped and fell and rolled some more, and fortunately this snow slide... I landed him flush up against the door of the tavern,
uh-huh.
and he
ran
very faintly. Wrapped
sure, he was
door.
Weak.
Very, very
of
weak. Finally, the door opened.
I don't mean to be speeding you up. I just hope
woman
you hear the whole story.
Oh my goodness! And she helped him in and brought him in by a fire. And
they had food there.
Yeah. Well, he looked up. He said, "I know that I'm going to make it." I'm pretty badly injured here, and he said, but I've come all the way from America. All I want is one more piece of Bulgarian cream pie. And she said, gee, we're all out of that. All we have is apple. And he said, well, that'll be all right.
We've been listening to another telephonic story from Thurber Whitechapel, our correspondent in North Chicago. I believe he completed the story this evening.
Well, if there's any more to it, we're not going to bother to hear.
Right.
That's it for now. Until tomorrow night, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network. The All Network.